Hello and welcome to Managing Myeloma. My name is Sagar Lonial and I'm a professor at the Winship Cancer Institute of Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia. Today I'm speaking with Dr. Nikhil Munshi, professor of medicine at the Harvard Medical School in Boston, Massachusetts. And we're talking about highlights from the ESH Third International Conference on Multiple Myeloma, specifically focusing on the session that Dr. Munshi chaired on biology of plasma cells. Welcome, Dr. Munshi.
Thank you very much, Dr. Lonial. It's my pleasure being here.
So let's talk a little bit about some of the you had a very interesting biology-based session focusing on a couple of areas of interest, including immune-based therapy. So let's start off with the initial lecture that you gave on clonality.
Yeah, so this biology session had two different focus, for say, of interest. One was genomics and clonality, which I gave the lecture on, and then the second aspects were concerning immune-mediated killing of myeloma cells. So as you asked, the clonality discussion was regarding how myeloma cells at the time of diagnosis has multiple clones and then they evolve further. And this is an area of extreme interest because biologically speaking, these are the pathways and mechanisms which lead to development of drug resistance and eventually patients' lack of response and have a terminal outcome. So there are two important things to understand. These results have come out of a number of genome sequencing studies that have been done by us and by others. It has identified few important salient points. Number one, now we know what are the various specific mutations in myeloma. And from practical point of view, those mutations would be important as a target, and we can discuss about it a little bit later. Number two, at the time of diagnosis, already there are multiple clones present, and that's why when we treat the patient and when they relapse, the relapse disease would have a little bit different characteristic than the initial presenting features. And number three, over time, there is a further evolution of the clones in myeloma, leading to development of multiple newer clones with newer characteristics and newer response or lack of it to the treatment we give.
So, Nikhil, let me ask a question about that, because I think when one looks at the genomic landscape of a newly diagnosed patient, particularly a patient with high-risk disease, where I think it's the genomic instability may be higher than it is in a standard-risk myeloma patient. We talk about between 5 and 10 clones and things along those lines, but from a functional perspective, how do we know that those clones behave or respond differently to therapy?
So that's a very important question. There actually are probably not 5 to 10 clones. Our more recent whole genome sequencing data shows there might be hundreds of clones present. But to your question, the way we know that each of these clones or some of these clones have a differential sensitivity to treatment we give is based on what is left after the treatment. So out of those hundreds of clones, when patients respond and the myeloma disease goes down, at that point, and more importantly, when the patients relapse, the genomic characteristics, the mutational profile or the mutational landscape of the relapse sample is different than what we see at the time of diagnosis. So we know that some of the clones have survived and actually grown while we are giving treatment. The others have been extinguished. So we see this differential clonal response, and that tells us that they have differential sensitivity to the drugs.
That kind of sequential data that your group has generated is very important for us to help to understand some of these questions. So let's talk a little bit about the other talks then that focus a little bit more on immunity, which is certainly a huge area in oncology, but not wanting to be left out of the fun. In myeloma, we've certainly taken that immune banner and tried to move it forward.
Yeah, so I think the second area of interest in this particular session, but very broadly for myeloma and even more broadly for all the cancer, has been immune-based therapies. And there are two components to it, and the two other presentations sort of touched on both the component. One is killing of the tumor cell using antibody-based therapies, which was Professor Malavasi's presentation. And then the second, third component of the third talk was on impact of some of the cell signaling pathway in the specific area was surviving that can affect, sort of provide interaction of the accessory cells in the bone marrow that can make immune-based therapy not as effective. So if we go to the first of the two immunity-based talk, Professor Malavasi's talk was targeting on CD38 as a important target. And in myeloma, CD38 is an important molecule because we have one already approved antibody, daratumumab, which is effectively targeting CD38, providing significant responses by itself and even significantly higher responses when combined with immunomodulator drug or proteasome inhibitor drug. So CD38 is a very important target for us, and Professor Malavasi presented data on how the target itself is an ectoenzyme, which would mean is that it has a receptor that the antibody sort of utilizes for its effect, but it also has a functional impact in the microenvironment to generate atmosphere that provides some level of protection to the tumor cells. And he described very elegantly how this CD38 molecule and its activity lead to production of a chemical called adenosine that then affects further ability of the other immune cells to act appropriately, the NK cells and the T cells. And his data suggested that if one suppresses this adenosine molecule, one could augment the immune effects of CD38 targeting therapies. And as part of his presentation, he showed that actually myeloma cells sheds these vesicles that contain adenosine and contains the CD38 cell surface molecule, which can then pass on this information to the next cell for them to also become less responsive. And the important aspect of this is that targeting some of these functions of CD38 and the mechanism would be beneficial in augmenting immune-based responses.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing the very early activity of certainly daratumumab and other CD38 targeted approaches has been pretty impressive in combination with some of our great agents and alone. If you can tweak the system a little bit more, it would be even more impressive, whether it's through regulation of adenosine or upregulation of CD38 expression through ATRA or other things along those lines. It seems like we've just only scratched the surface.
Absolutely. I think CD38 is a great target. There are other antibodies in development, and anything that makes its efficacy better would be a significant advance in this area.
Yeah, yeah. So the last lecture then really focused on intracellular signaling as a mechanism of resistance to immune therapy.
That is correct. It was also a very elegant presentation by Professor Mutis from Amsterdam, and that he has studied the crosstalk between the plasma cells or myeloma cells and the bone marrow stromal cells and endothelial cell, the microenvironment itself, including the extracellular matrix, to understand the signaling that may be initiated by this interaction and how it can lead to anti-apoptotic effects in the myeloma cells to protect against immune-based therapy-mediated cell killing. So this interaction actually protects myeloma cells from being killed by the immune cells itself, and that includes both T cells and NK cells effects. And his cell signaling studies in this setting showed that survivin, one of the anti-apoptotic cis-related molecule, drives this effect, and that if one develops and survives in targeting therapeutic modality, it can improve the efficacy of some of the immune therapies. And by itself also, targeting survivin could be important in myeloma. So it was another angle of how bone marrow niche protects myeloma cells and how one can develop methods or treatments to overcome these protective effects.
There have been, if I recall, and I don't remember now off the top of my head, but there have been survivin inhibitors that have been tested in myeloma. I don't remember that they had great activity.
No, you're very right. They were survivin targeting drugs, small molecules, which have been tested, and our group has also looked at it a number of years ago. By itself, and biology-wise, it was interesting that survivin is one of the anti-apoptotic agents that can be targeted and has functional role. Its main evaluation originally had happened for survivin by itself and its effect, and it was not it was underwhelming, the results, and that's why the molecule has not gone into clinical studies. The angle that probably this presentation brings about is that maybe survivin by itself is not the great target, but when you look at it in the context of bone marrow microenvironment and specifically ability of the immune cell-mediated killing, that inhibiting survivin may have some greater role. So by itself, not so great and probably doesn't have much future, but in the context that this discussion was, one should probably revisit and see if there is any role in inhibiting survivin.
Interesting. So as one begins to put each of these three important biology-based lectures together, what are sort of some take-home messages for the practicing clinician?
So I think I would summarize the take-home messages in three things. So number one, is those three things represent the three talks in some ways. So the first one is this important aspect of clonal heterogeneity and clonal evolution. And there was also a discussion in that talk that I presented, is that even treatment that we use can impact how the clones develop. So moving forward, I think we have to keep in mind that myeloma evolves, and the myeloma we start treatment with and myeloma at the time of relapse may have different features. So we do need to repeat some of the genomic studies that we did at diagnosis, but now at the relapse we need to repeat it to see if it has changed. Number two, in the same talk, it's important to know that certain mutations can be targeted today with the available drugs. There are ongoing studies for it. For example, we can have a BRAF inhibitor. We can have a MEK inhibitor to target RAS mutations, and we have an IDH targeting drug, et cetera. So some of the mutations can be targeted and can be utilized. Number two, CD38 is a very important target, and further improvement and refinement in CD38 targeting antibodies will be beneficial. And the take-home message is that there are a number of studies ongoing to improve upon that. And then finally, the third point about the third presentation was that immune treatments are very, very important. We know that drugs like pembrolizumab with lenalidomide provide 75%+ response rates in a relapse refractory patients. And there are CAR-T studies ongoing that has a great promise. But then there are mechanisms which prevent these immune treatments from working very well, and there is a better understanding to now inhibit those mechanisms to improve the immune-mediated killing.
Yeah, certainly very, very exciting, and with not just CAR T cells, but now immunoconjugates and the bispecific antibodies coming down the road as well, I think one of the real challenges is how do we put our standard drugs together in combinations with many of these immune-based therapies, either in combination or sequences that allows them to be maximally effective.
I think that is a task for us and a good problem, that with all these good treatments, we have to be careful that we combine them to get synergistic effect, but at the same time not use it in a way that one drug may in fact end up countering the other drug. So far we haven't faced that problem tremendously, but I think with many more drugs available, we have to now realize which would synergize and what sequential fashion that we can use them in so that we can optimize the activity, especially bringing in the immune component, which probably is the next important frontier in myeloma that may lead to curative outcome. Its utilization at the earlier time point, but very importantly for maintenance, would be important next steps in our making it better. And the presentation in this session, focusing on something of this fundamental biology, but with a view of its clinical application, is going to be contributing tremendously to achieve those next line of questions.
All right. Well, that sounds very good. And thank you, Dr. Munshi, for the highlights you provided today. And thank you all for joining us. For additional resources, please view the other educational activities on managingmyeloma.com.
Thank you very much, Dr. Lonial. It was a pleasure presenting this.